Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome one and all to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host for a while, Jim Dolan, and we have some interesting programming here for you today. This is more of an event rather than a show, but it's both. It's a Mutual 300 party. Now, this is a program that celebrates the 300th station in the Mutual Radio Network, and it was put on in Oil City, Pennsylvania for the first program of WKRZ. And in this, we're going to be able to hear a number of the best shows that Mutual had on the air during that time. It's a little bit long, so I better quiet down now and let's get right into the Mutual 300 party.
The Earth has secret places where the Earth's treasures are hidden. Far beneath the surface are the unseen depths in which men probe, stubbornly, patiently, exploring the unknown.
This is my name. I'm a wildcatter. A wildcatter is a man who digs an oil well where no one in his right mind should expect to find oil. Sometimes he finds it, sometimes he doesn't. And if he doesn't, then he just digs another well. Why? To understand that, you first have to understand about oil. Oil, that is petroleum, a thick black liquid.
Hey, Fred Douglas.
Oh, what is it, Pop?
Listen, I've worked in the oil field since before you were born. I'll tell about petroleum. I ought to know.
Well, go ahead, Pop.
Well, petroleum is black as tar. It smells like all the smoke of Pittsburgh rolled up with a mess of rotten eggs and a touch of skunk. And it tastes as bad as it smells. I know. I've been covered with oil from head to foot.
Well, Pop, why don't you get out of the oil field?
But why should I, young fella?
Because you hate the stuff.
Who said so?
Why, you did, Pop. You just said it smells like...
Sure, it stinks, but I like the smell. Now let's get to work. Start that drill. Howdy! Howdy!
Hey, is he a friend of yours, Fred? No, I never saw him before.
What are you drilling for? Water?
Water is for farmers, mister. I'm an oil man.
Oil? There is no oil here.
How do you know?
Nobody ever found any.
You mean nobody ever looked?
But you're 100 miles away from the nearest oil field.
Mister, I'll tell you something. The nearest oil field is only a mile away. A mile straight down.
Hey, Pop, how far down are we?
Just scratch the surface, Mac. Only 2,800 feet.
What do you think, Pop? Are we going to bring the well in today?
Keep drilling. You can't talk a well in.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah?
Did you hear?
No, I guess not.
Fred! Pop, listen. Here it comes.
Off the derrick, men. It's a gusher.
It's raining oil.
Let it rain. This is no sweet-smelling rainwater. This is oil.
This is oil. This is the stuff, the black, evil-smelling stuff that turns the wheels of the 20th century and carries the world toward the unknown future, an unknown still to be explored.
Hey, wait a minute, buddy. Where do you think you're going?
Why, I'm looking for a 300 party.
Oh, a gatecrasher, huh? Where's your ticket?
Well, you see, it's like this.
That's all, brother. Hit the road.
Hey, wait a minute. You know who you're talking to?
I don't know, and I don't care. Beat it.
I'm a friend of Elsa Maxwell.
Oh, Elsa?
Yeah.
Elsa, well, there's a guy here claims he knows you. Hasn't got a ticket, though, Elsa.
Hello, Elsa. How are you?
He knows me. Why, Jack. Jack Dempsey.
Uh-oh. Jack Dempsey. Will I ever learn to keep my big mouth shut?
Sorry that you had trouble getting in, Jack. But now that you're here, what do you think of our 300 party?
Well, I think it's terrific, Elsa. And you know, I get a real kick out of having part in this celebration. I can remember the first time I ever had a personal interest in radio was on the 2nd of July, 1921. And ever since then, the opportunity to join in hailing another milestone in radio progress has been a real pleasure. That July day back in 1921, I met the French heavyweight Georges Carpentier in Jersey City. It was the first fight ever broadcast. The first time radio ever took his microphone to ringside for a blow-by-blow account of boxing thrills. Since then, in these last 25 years, radio has come a long way. Naturally, I've been especially interested in the development of radio fight broadcasting and radio broadcasting of all sports. And now I know that the audience of WKRZ out in Oil City is going to get the best there is in the city's product that fight broadcasting has become after a quarter of a century of progress. As Mutual 300 affiliate, WKRZ joins the coast-to-coast network of stations, many of which carry the best fight of the week every Monday night. Now I know that sounds like a large order, and I know I'm sticking my neck out, but that's my job to live up to that claim. And I promise you, I'll never fail for lack of effort or determination. That's a heavy responsibility to shoulder, and I am well aware that the proof is in the listening. So I invite you to make a date with me every Monday night over many of these stations, and I know my sponsor, Adams Hat, who have been behind the broadcasting of clean fights for the last 16 years, will join me in doing our best to deliver the fight of the week, as Mutual will bring you the best in all other sports.
Yes, Elsa.
You can come out from under that table now. Jack Dempsey is gone.
Well, no, I wasn't really scared, Elsa. I just didn't want to cause any trouble, after
all. Of course, I understand. Look, Tiny, will you point out some of our other guests to our charming couple? Mrs. and Mrs. Oil City? I've got to put in a call for Todd Russell of Phenomen's Double or Nothing in Buffalo. I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, go right ahead, Elsa. I'll take care of things meanwhile here.
We were wondering, Mr. Russell, who are those men with their heads together?
Where?
Over there at the corner table.
Oh, I see what you mean. Now, let's see. Well, that's the General Foods House of Mystery cast folks cooking up a new plot, no doubt. Right next to them, Ralston's Tom Mix and Ovaltine's Captain Midnight are in a huddle. And there's Ilka Chase. She's commentator for Berkshire's Knitting Mills, chatting with those two adventurous gentlemen, N.R. and Tum, Bulldog Drummond, and Gem Razor's the Falcon. Now, over here on the left, these serious-looking fellows are Upton Close, sponsored by the National Economic Council, Kreml's Lyle Van, also Richfield's Arthur Hale, and there's Cecil Brown. And say, there's Bayou Philly sports commentator Bill Brandt whispering to Carter's John J. Anthony. Probably trying to solve a baseball problem. And, oh, say, one thing I'd like to mention right here and now, too. We want to thank the makers of Hellbros watches for that nice lot of Quick as a Flash they gave us. But don't you think that's a good idea, Miss Felton? Well, and next to all those fellows over there, those wonderful musicians who bring you the Coffee Treasure Hour of Song. And up here on our bandstand, that's Emerson Buckley raising his baton. So let's move over and listen, huh?
This is WGN, WGNB, Chicago, serving the Middle West. We now rejoin the Mutual Network for the Mutual 300 Party.
Party neighbors, in honor of Oil City, Pennsylvania, who tonight and from now on have radio reception for the first time through the facilities of station WKRZ, 300 stations to join Mutual, the world's largest network. And now let's see how Elsa Maxwell is doing on that call to Todd Russell in Buffalo.
Hello. Hello, Todd. Our guests of honor are very anxious to hear Double or Nothing. Think you can arrange? Wonderful. Yes, yes, I'll tell them. Goodbye. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Oil City, you're in for a treat.
What is it, Miss Maxwell?
Well, I've just talked to Todd Russell in Buffalo. He's going to have two of your friends in Oil City appear in a capsule version of Double or Nothing.
You mean the contestants in Oil City and Todd Russell in Buffalo?
That's right. Hang on tight. because they're going to shuffle off to Buffalo.
Thank you, Elsa Maxwell. This is Todd Russell in Buffalo, where we're going to broadcast this week's Double or Nothing program in a salute to Universal's new picture, So Goes My Love. Say, we're going to give you a capsule version of Double or Nothing, and somebody must have given tonight's contestants specific instructions to stand a good distance from my microphone, because they're many miles from it. In fact, they're way out there in Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, who is our first contestant in Oil City, Tom Slater?
Well, a very charming young lady, Todd, Miss Elaine Kuntz. She's a reporter in the Oil City Department of the Franklin News Herald, and Elaine has lived in Oil City off and on for many years. Todd, meet Elaine Kuntz.
Well, hello, Elaine. You're looking wonderful tonight. You look beautiful. All right, Elaine, your problems on Double or Nothing are really double because they deal with plurals. Now, we give you a noun or a pronoun. You spell the plural. All right, now, for the first Phenomen 5, spell for us the plural of myself. Myself. Spell for us the plural of myself.
M-Y-S-E-L-F.
Myself? Well, that's not quite right. Your last part was right. You wouldn't say myself. Instead of myself, you'd say,
my own.
No, not my own. We'll give you one more fast chance. We wouldn't say myself. We'd say,
ourselves.
All right, can you spell it?
O-U-R-S-E-L-V-E-N.
That's exactly right. There's your $5. Now, for the next Phenomen 5, spell for us the plural of the word spoonful. Spoonful.
S-P-O-O-N-S-S-U-L.
Gee, not quite. Can we give them one more, little wee chance? One more chance. Spell for us the plural of the word spoonful.
S-P-O-O-N-S-S-U-L.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, but I must call that wrong, Elaine. The word is spelled S-P-O-O-N-S-U-L-S. Spoonful. Gee, that's a shame, but you have got $5. Congratulations, and thank you, Miss Elaine Kuntz. All right. Now, who is our next contestant from Oil City, Tom?
It's Jack Myers, a young writer who spent all of his 31 years here in Oil City. Mr. Myers, meet Mr. Russell.
How do you do, Jack?
Good evening, Todd.
Nice to see you over there. Say, I see you've got yourself a Double or Nothing session on the subject of dogs, Jack. Mm-hmm. And that's okay with me. Now, as a starter, we'll give you 30 seconds to name 5 famous dogs of fact or fiction. And Phenomen will pay you $5 for each one you name. On your mark, Jack, get set and go.
All right, Laddie.
Which?
Laddie.
Yes, Laddie. How about Laddie's girlfriend?
Well, I don't know her.
Oh. Bonnie Lassie, but now you've got Laddie.
Daisy.
All right, Daisy, that's 2. Come on. Remember Rose Dawson?
Bluff.
Who?
Bluff.
All right, all right. Good enough. That's 3. How about President Roosevelt's favorite dog?
Oh.
You got 3?
Fido. No, that's not right.
Fact or fiction? We'll accept Fido. That's 4. Let's get one more, can we, Jack? One more. How about that mascot of the famous Eastern University? Remember? You got 4? Oh, this is a movie dog. You think of them, Jack. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rex, the movie dog.
Yes, Rex, the movie dog. That's all right. Now, you've won $25, Jack, from Phenomen. Will you stop at 25 or will you risk it to try for the Phenomen 50, Double or Nothing?
Oh, I can't let WKRZ down.
For $50, then, name a famous dog of the comic strips or animated cartoons, Jack. A famous dog. Little Orphan Annie's little... A famous dog of the comic strips or animated cartoons.
Sandy.
Sandy is right. Nicely done indeed, Jack. You won the Phenomen 50. Will you sit down with the 50 or again risk it? To try for that big $100 cash prize, Double or Nothing.
Oh, I'd like that.
Here we go for $100. Who is the best-known writer of dog stories? $100, Jack.
Calhoun.
Yes, Albert Payson Terhune. That's what you said. That's exactly what it is. Your $100. Congratulations and good luck.
Miss Maxwell, those men sitting at that round table over there, they look very familiar.
Yes, I was just going to say that, too. I've seen their pictures, I know.
Of course you have, Fook. Those are 4 of Mutual's famous commentators. I invited them to drop in on our 300 party tonight to give us an inside slant on their views regarding some of the problems facing the nation and the world today. Tiny, would you introduce our distinguished guest?
Gladly, Elsa. First, Henry J. Taylor, brought to you by General Motors.
Leaving Oil City for a moment, let me take your thoughts with me tonight to a radio station in Turkey, Egypt, Sweden, Brazil, France, India, any place I've found myself broadcasting outside our own marvelous land. As in so many other things in which we lead the world, it is easier perhaps to appreciate what we have in America if we think of radio elsewhere. The comparative size is obvious, of course, when you remember that while only 5% of the people in the world live in our country, we have more radio stations than all the rest of the world combined. But the size of American radio is only part of the American story. The freedom of our radio here and its preservation is even more important. Outside of England and the British Dominions, freedom of the air is practically unknown any place else on Earth. But with the way our radio is handled here goes a clear responsibility, for the impact and persuasive quality of this medium is tremendous. It is easily abused. Knowing this, it is not simple to, on the one hand, help preserve the freedom of the air, and on the other hand, to keep it from being abused. It's a difficult problem, still unsolved, but the situation is improving. And as it improves, radio is strengthened, American intelligence is fortified, and the better day of better knowledge that we all want and need so badly is brought that much nearer in your land and mine.
Thank you, Henry J. Taylor. And now that famous voice from Washington, Fulton Lewis, Jr.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Congress this week is going into the last lap of its first peacetime session since 1941, trying to write the foundation policies of the economic and social system that will be the America of the future. There is, of course, violent controversy and wide difference of opinion as to what those policies should be. Some want to embark on a new era of planned economy and greatly increased governmental control. Others believe that the way to prosperity lies in less government control and more freedom of the individual. And when the House of Representatives resumes operations on Tuesday, that's the underlying theme of decisions which must be made and will be made between now and mid-July. There's a question of whether OPA should be continued without restrictions or whether it should be given specific congressional directives designed to let industry solve the inflation problem by production. There's the pending labor legislation, which the president originally asked for but did not like when he saw what he was likely to get. It also is the issue in the FEPC legislation and in endless other items of domestic legislation that are on the congressional calendar. Leaders in Congress will try desperately in these coming weeks to push through some legislation for unification of the armed forces, on which they will face tremendous difficulties, and for continuation of the draft for another year, which will be equally difficult. They probably will get a compromise on the draft, but nothing at all on the question of unification of the armed forces. Those are the top issues before Congress.
Thank you, Fulton Lewis, Jr. And now here's Cedric Foster, brought to you by the Employers Group Insurance Companies of Boston.
It probably is trite to say this, even though we've been in the atomic age less than a year, yet it's the only way I know to express it. The atomic age gives man an opportunity for good or evil never before equaled in history. And to be even more blunt, one may say without fear of contradiction, man can go forward into the uplifting fields of scientific research and endeavor, or he can destroy himself. I don't believe that he will destroy himself. I don't believe that he has the courage, if that is the proper word, to bring about his own destruction in a wholesale manner such as he could with the atomic bomb. Yet, of course, there is always that chance. The Atomic Commission at this moment is the safety valve and the check for mankind. As soon as proper guards can be established, it would seem imperative to release information on atomic energy. And working through the United Nations, man has the golden opportunity to advance into realms of science that he has never penetrated before. And one final statement, unless we are prepared to fly in the face of history, we must remain strong in spirit and arms, and I don't subscribe to the theory that atomic energy has rendered obsolete former methods of attaining protection and security. Security will be attained only through integration of our armed forces, only in that way, whereby none will lose its entity, whereby all will be subordinated to the common good.
Thank you, Cedric Foster. And finally, that famous war correspondent, Pepsi-Cola's Fenton Reynolds.
Fiorello LaGuardia, former mayor of New York City, has just about the toughest job in America. As head of UNRWA, his job is to feed the world. Today, a large part of the world is starving. The 48 nations which make up UNRWA have pledged themselves to save these people. We are one of the nations which has not as yet fulfilled our obligation to UNRWA. The greatest need for the starving people of Europe and Asia is wheat and grain. We have both in abundance. The bread alone that we waste in a week would feed thousands of people who literally have no bread. Unless we stop wasting food, lives will continue to be wasted. The lives of men and women who fought with us during the war. Unless we stop wasting food, we will lose the first great battle of the peace. the battle against starvation.
Thank you, Quentin Reynolds, and thank you all, gentlemen. We're very happy to have had you with us. And don't forget, friends, Mutual has ace news reporters in every corner of the globe bringing you worldwide news coverage.
Hello. Yes. Oh, you do? Well, you may be right. Why, yes, of course. We'll be glad to come over to your table. Where are you sitting? Nashville, Tennessee? All right, we'll be there in a few seconds. Goodbye.
Did you say we'd be in Tennessee in a few seconds, Miss Maxwell?
Yes, sirree. We're all going to the Ralston Purina Opera House in Nashville.
But how can we get there that fast without Superman?
In radio, you can do anything, my dear. That fellow on the phone says you can't have a real good party without mountain music. So come on, Mr. and Mrs. Oil City. We're going down Tennessee Way.
Howdy, friends. Howdy, neighbors. This is Eddie Arnold and a great big Tennessee welcome to Mutual's 300th station. Every Saturday, we put on a real old-fashioned shindig down here in Nashville, the home of American folk music. And Mutual stations carry it from coast to coast. We call it Opry House Matinee. And home folks from mighty near every state in the Union pile into the old Princess Showhouse for a full hour of old-time music and homespun humor. Right now, I'd like to sing a song from the new Opry House songbook that we announced today. The one with the words and music to the songs we sing, plus pictures of everybody on the show. I know you like the new book, and we'll know that you want to have one. So here's a song, I Talk to Myself About You. I talk to myself about you, dear. I can't realize that we're through. I know in my mind that I'm wasting my time when I talk to myself about you. I talk to my heart about you, dear. I tell it I'll find someone new. But somehow I know I'm just fooling my heart when I talk to my heart about you. Darling, it's so hard to do. I can't help but feel that the words are in vain when I talk to myself about you. I tell all my friends that it's over. I say I don't care what you do. But they seem to know when the tears fill my eyes that I talk myself about you. I talk to myself about you, dear. I can't realize that we're through. I know in my mind that I'm wasting my time when I talk to myself about you.
Back in New York now and on with Mutual's 300 party. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Oil City, what would you like next?
Gee, Mr. Ruffner, there's so many things you... Well, you kind of put me on the spot.
Well, I'll tell you, while you're getting your bearings, you just look over there and you'll see a man who's really on the spot.
He does seem rather concerned. Who is he, Mr. Ruffner?
Well, that's Bill Slater, and he's surrounded by those charming, witty, and saucy young ladies of Mutual's famous program, Leave It to the Girls, with their mistress of ceremonies, Paula Stone.
Is another one of those no-names-please letters, and it comes to us from Indiana. Here it is, girls. The only reason my fiancé has a wedding date is because he has no money saved. Should I tell him I have $1,500, or I'd better keep my mouth shut? Well, what about that, girls? A little advice? Madge, I think she'd better keep her mouth shut. Well, let's straighten to the point. What do you say, Robin?
Well, I think she can find out just what kind of a man he is if she tells him she's got $1,500. Then, if he tries to snatch her right off to the church...
She knows what kind of a guy he is. Yes, it might be a good idea for her to find out why he has no money saved. I mean, maybe spend it on other women or lost weekends or something. Florence, what would you ask?
Robin says that what kind of a man he is as far as $1,500 is concerned. Show me the man that won't grab
$1,500. Oh, yes, Bill Slater.
That's a very material point of view. And when Florence spoke, it reminded me of the woman who believed in dividing things up half and half. If they had $10, she took $9.50. He got the other half. I just don't like that attitude.
Eloise, will you please get in there and answer Bill Slater?
Well, I think she should definitely hang on to the money, because who can tell what might happen even if she told him before the wedding day? And then if she lost him, she'd lose both the man and the money. But if she hangs on to the money, even if she loses him, she can get a lot of other men. Because if she...
Well, I think that sort of tells our listener in Indiana what we feel about that problem. Now we have another no-name, please, letter. This one from Posen, Illinois. And this listener writes, while living with my husband for more than 10 years, he never remembered my birthday, anniversary, Valentine's Day, etc. Never asked to take me out. He always went alone. Well, now that we've separated, he calls me, remembers all the important dates, sends beautiful cards, and feels nothing is too good for me. I find he makes a better sweetheart than a husband. And now he wants me back. What should I do? Florence.
Well, I think that man probably found out that woman did have $1,500. I would suggest, though, that she keep him away, because she tried him once and he wasn't good the first time. He's not going to be much better the second.
No, he's sort of like a used car deal this time, isn't he? Robin?
Oh, I don't agree with Flo, because I think he's kind of learned his lesson, and if she loves him, I'd take him back.
Well, Eloise, what would you answer to that?
I don't agree at all. Men never change, and while he may be a dream as a sweetheart, he's going to be a nightmare as a husband again.
Yes, Bill?
Now, Eloise hit it. The whole point is that women do change. And I'll just bet my bottom dollar that this no-name woman who sent in that question, as soon as that husband was separated from her, she started fixing herself up and dressing nicely and becoming very attractive and so on and so forth. And that's why he's calling up.
Robin Chandler has an answer for you, Bill.
Bill Slater, you know the trouble with men. If you get all dressed up, they think you've got your eye on another guy.
Haven't you?
Florence Fisher, get in there and fight it,
Bill. I just wondered, Mr. Slater, if you had ever seen the men when they're running around the house and how they look.
I have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, well, look, I've got some questions I'd like to ask these girls.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the man strikes back.
Girls, why is it that every time a fella takes a girl out, she is always hungry? She'll invariably lead him to the smartest restaurant in town and order practically everything on the menu. Don't you women ever eat at home, Florence?
She's probably hungry because the man who took her out before didn't feed her.
And this man is so appetizing, I suppose.
Well, men make you order all kinds of food, and then they eat it all before you can even look at it, for heaven's sake.
You mean men eat off of your plate, Florence?
Well, they certainly
do. That's sort of chummy, isn't it? Eloise?
But don't men ever eat in restaurants? Honestly, every time you ask a man to dinner, he goes through it like a mangling machine. Girls simply eat to keep up their strength to cope with men. Men simply eat anything they can lay their hands on.
Yes, and the way some girls cook, what they eat goes through him like a mangling machine. Robin?
Well, in the first place, Bill, I think you're wrong, because most women are on 9-day wonder diets or something like that. They're never eating. But why begrudge them a little food? You're so selfish with everything else.
It's a date for a hamburger when we get through, Robin.
Can you spare
well,
it?
Girls, you might... Depends. Girls, you might think that you've got to think fast on this show, but it's nothing like what we have to do every week on 20 questions. Now, on Leave It to the Girls, you're dealing with love, which is a pretty sure thing in anybody's language. But on 20 questions, our poor board of questioners don't know what they're dealing with unless they're lucky enough to get the right answer before their 20 questions are up. Now, our 20 questioners have moved into the seats there. They are Bobby McGuire, the sensational 14-year-old, Florence Renard, Herb Palazzi, and the well-known newscaster, Fred Vandeventer. Now, in just a second, I'm going to submit the first subject. All our subjects are sent in by listeners, and then the mystery voice will tell the people at home what the subject is. The audience can see what it is from an easel over here that they alone can see, and everybody will know but our questioners, and it'll be up to them to get it within 20 questions, or the person who sent in this subject is going to get a grand surprise prize. The first subject was submitted by Mrs. Sylvia Tettelbaum, whose home is in St. Louis, Missouri, and this subject is animal.
This is the mystery voice telling the radio audience only that Bill's subject is the man in the moon.
All right, let's see if you can get this animal subject in 20 questions. Vandeventer?
Is it a living American man?
No, we turned you back on that, no. Miss Palazzi?
Is it a man?
It's a man.
Does he wear a mustache?
Well, not this man. He wouldn't look very good in the mustache. That's three questions. Vandeventer?
Is he alive?
No. Miss Renard?
Was he an American?
No, he was not an American. He was quite universal, as a matter of fact. Vandeventer?
Was he fictional?
Written about in lots of fiction. Not primarily known because he was written about in the book, however. Bobby?
Is he on the earth?
No, he's not on the earth,
man
Bobby.
The man in the moon.
The man in the moon, Bobby. Well, when you're 14 years old, the moon is very important to you. I'm glad you got that in 8 questions. Bobby, try your brains on this one. Mr. Donald Q. Custer, whose home is in New York City, thought this one up. This one is animal, vegetable, and mineral.
The panel has 20 chances to guess the town Mutual is honoring tonight, Oil City.
Now the people at home know what it is, and so do the people in the studio. Let's see if you can get this in 20 questions. Mr. Pelosi?
Is it water?
No, it's not water. Miss Renard?
Is it a division of land?
It's a division of land, yes. Vandevenna?
Is it fictional?
No, it's not fictional. It's very real. Bobby?
Is it in the United States?
It's in the United States. Miss Renard?
Is it a political division?
No, it's not particularly a political division. Vandevenna?
Is it east of the Allegheny Mountains?
Not quite. Not quite. Bobby?
Is it between the Alleghenies and the Mississippi River?
Yeah. Although it's closer to one than the other, Bobby. Vandevenna?
Well, is it in the mountains?
It's pretty close to them. That's 8 questions. Bobby?
Is it in Pennsylvania?
It's in Pennsylvania, Bobby. Try again, Bobby. Vandevenna?
You say this is not a political subdivision at all?
Well, it's not a political subdivision, no. It has nothing to do with political life.
Is it a city?
It's a city. Mr. Pelosi?
Is it Pittsburgh?
No, it's not Pittsburgh, Bobby.
Oh, Oil City?
It's Oil City, Pennsylvania, the city we're honoring tonight. Well, you got that in 13 questions. I think that's pretty good going. Now, I've got some quickies here. I want to see how much time it takes you to get these. I'm not going to count the questions on you now. This first one I've thought up is animal.
The subject is Jack Dempsey.
All right, we've tipped the people at home. Let the people in the studio see what it is and see how quick they can get this one. Vandevenna.
Is it a living American man?
Yeah.
Is he in the entertainment world?
Yes. A phase of it.
Is he in this theater?
He is in this theater.
Is he on a stage?
No. Mr. Blazy?
Is Quint Reynolds?
No. Vandevenna?
Is he an actor?
No. Miss Renard?
Was he ever in the professional world of any kind?
Yes.
Was it Jack Dempsey?
Jack Dempsey. That's very, 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 very good job. Well, that looks as if that's all we're going to have time for this evening, folks. We're awfully glad that we were able to participate in this big 300 party, and we hope you'll be listening to us over most of these stations next Saturday night. This is Bill Slater saying thanks and so long for now.
We pause for station identification. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System. It's Mutual's 300 party in honor of Oil City, Pennsylvania, who have radio receptors tonight for the first time through the facilities of station WKRZ. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Oil City, what do you think of the radio business?
It's all so exciting, I don't know what to say.
I'm kind of stuck for words myself, Mr. Ruffner.
Why, you haven't seen anything yet, folks. In the next hour, you're going to meet Bert Lahr, the Websters, Queen for a Day, Basil Rathbone, Nigel Bruce, Dick Powell, Donald Crisp, Erskine Johnson.
I never realized so many people were on Mutual.
My dear, that's only a handful. There are a lot more that we'd love to have you meet, but they couldn't make the party tonight. Among them are Sarah food expert Victor H. Lindlar and Richard Maxwell, who brings you Hymns You Love, also sponsored by Sarah. And then there's that popular commentator, Gabriel Heater, brought to you by Camel Hair Tonic and Shampoo, Poland Toothpaste and Barbershawl Shave Cream, and Real Stories from Real Life, sponsored by the Whitehall Pharmacal Company, our Anison.
Oh, and what about Take It Easy Time? That's one of my favorites.
Oh, you mean the Stokely Van Camp Show. Why, yes, indeed. They're also part of the Mutual family. And there's another swell little musical show called Sweetheart Time. That's sponsored by Ivory.
Boy, I bet you could go on for a long time like that, couldn't you, Mr. Ruffner?
I certainly could, Mr. Royal City. You know, it's awfully hard for me to stop talking about Mutual shows once I get started. But come on, we've still got a lot of ground to cover, haven't we, Elsa?
You bet we have, Tiny. And right now, Mr. and Mrs. Oil City, we're going to present a condensed version of Hamlet. Maurice Evans, who was to appear here tonight, was unable to do so because of previous commitments. However, we were extremely fortunate in securing the services of that other great Shakespearean tragedian, Mr. Bert Lahr.
Woe is me, woe is me. My father but 2 months dead, and my mother married to mine uncle. All wicked deeds so dark and cloudy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy. Oh, fire on it!
What ho, Hamlet!
My uncle, the foul beast, I will regard him not.
What ho, Hamlet!
Still I regard him not.
Hey, Stinky!
Who calls me by my maiden name?
Thor, Hamlet, I fear thou hast blown thy top.
I just do. I have of late, but wherefore I know not. Lost all my mirth, and this grave o'erhanging permanent, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire, why, it appears no other thing to me than a foul and pestilent congregation of vapors, and never again!
Never again what?
Never again will I stay up all night learning a speech like that.
Alas, he is quite mad. I will send him on a trip to a distant city where there are many wondrous changes. Sixth Avenue is now the Avenue of the Americas.
Alas, poor New York, I knew it well. Ah, me. My mother married to mine uncle. This is a wicked business that cannot come to good. but my heart breaks, for I'm a cold my soul. Slippery, isn't it? What, hold? Me thinks I see the fair Ophelia. 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 Is that you, Ophelia?
Who'd you think it was, B.O. Twenty?
The resemblance is more than passing. Ophelia, what brings thee out this hour of the morn in thy nightgown? And without thy glasses?
My father, the good Polonius, is slain.
Slain? Who slain him? Slined him. Sloop. Who not the more?
Thou didst. Oh, what am I doing here? Where am I? Where am I? Calling you at airport. Calling you at airport.
Boy, is she off her beam.
Thou hast slain my father, and our love is no more. I leave thee now, dear Hamlet. But wherever I go, whatever I do, thy face will ever be before me. Oh, what a life.
Ah, she is gone and I am alone. Tis a most unseemly hour. Ah. Methinks I hear the village clock strike one. Both village clocks strike one. What's this I see? A vision? Speak! By the heavens, I charge thee, speak! Who art thou?
I am the ghost of your father.
Father? Dost thou mean I am thy own flesh and blood?
Just my flesh. I haven't got any blood.
If thou art my father, why have I not seen thee before?
We're on your last to haunt 8 hours tonight. We have a very strong union here. My son, I was foully murdered by thy uncle. He poured Persian in my ear.
Persian? What a nasty prank. You shall be revenged. But tell me, father, how are things with thou in thy present state?
Oh, not so good, son. We only get a change of sheets twice a week, and they're so thin and drastic. And those chains they give us to rattle, they don't click like the pre-war stuff.
Ah, to be or not to be, that is the question. What's the answer?
The answer is that thou wilt never revenge thy father's death.
Oh, I am sorry. That's the wrong answer. But give that gentleman a box of 24 Milky Way candy bars.
I have a ghost here in the mezzanine, doctor.
Oh, cut it out. Cut it out. Mock me not, father. I go now into the palace to avenge thy death. So, my treacherous uncle, thou hast bumped off my father. Draw and defend thine honor.
I draw.
What do you got?
Aces up.
No good. Three do.
I'm stabbed.
Double cross and sound man. Death to all this house!
Oh, my son, I am well revenged. Thou hast killed everyone, and the house is empty.
The house is empty! At last! At last, the vacant apartment!
Well, sir, I think somebody's trying to get your attention.
Who, Tiny?
Those people way out there. See them? Gosh, it must be out as far as Chicago.
Why, Tiny, it's that delightful family from the Quaker Oats program. Come on, Mr. and Mrs. Oil City. I want you to meet those Websters.
And now we take you to 46th River Road to the home of those Websters. It seems that George has been worrying about a peculiar noise in his radio. We find him on the living room floor, surrounded by screws, nuts, bolts, and wires. Jane stops short in the doorway.
George, why in the world are you taking the radio apart?
I'm not taking it apart. I'm putting it together. I wanted to see where all the funny noise comes from.
Oh, darling, I could have told you. It comes from the loudspeaker.
Jane, I don't mean that kind of noise. I mean the one that goes like somebody's sobbing.
Oh, you mean a daytime stereo.
I don't mean it's on the radio. I mean it's in the radio.
You mean it still works when it's lying all over the floor like that?
No. When it's working, it makes an awful noise.
When you turn it on?
Certainly when you turn it on.
Oh, darling, did you have to take it all apart just to discover that?
Jane, I'm fixing it.
Why didn't you say so? Here, I'll help you.
No.
Well, hurry, George. I want to tune in on that program in honor of Mutual 300 Station.
Come on in, Mr. Watt. Mm-hmm. Dad, Mr. Watt needs a nut for his power lawnmower.
Yes, Bill here said you'd likely have what I need, but I never figured you'd go to this much trouble. Here, let me see now.
Isn't this about the size, Mr.
Watt? Put that down. That's part of this radio.
What are you doing with it, Dad?
trying to find out what makes it tick?
No. What makes it sob?
George, that program will be starting in just a minute.
It don't seem like it'd be so much of a job putting these two parts together. You ought to see my lawnmower. If I don't get her put together pretty soon, Myrtle never will get the grass cut.
Oh, how is she?
Fine, fine. Best darn grass cutter I ever had.
I'm talking about Myrtle.
Yeah, same here. Maybe I shouldn't be bragging on my wife this way.
Oh, I do hope you get this radio put together right, George.
Don't be silly, Jane.
I got the gears kind of changed around my lawnmower once. Like to scare the life out of me. Chased me all over the lawn till I had sense enough to lay down and just let her run over me.
Mr. Watt, that was dangerous.
Yeah, kind of close shave, all right.
There, I've got it. Now, let's see what it sounds like. How's that? Don't hear any sobbing now, do you?
Oh, George, it sounds awful. Turn it off.
I suppose I cared so much for that program myself.
Well, I got everything back in place.
Let me see now. You didn't forget the static, did you?
No, I got that in all right. Jane, what are you doing with that hairpin?
Oh, never mind, dear. Bill, hand me that jar of mucilage from the table, will you?
Jane, you're going to ruin that radio.
George, that mutual program starts in just 1 minute, and I'm not going to miss it. Now, Bill, run and get the adhesive tape from the medicine chest.
Okay.
Get a jar of mayonnaise while you're at it.
Now, let me see. A couple of paper clips.
Ain't going in for television, are you, Miss Webster?
There. Now, what time is it, Bill?
7 o'clock. On the nose, Mom.
Good. Let's turn it on, then.
Look out. It'll blow up.
This is Frank Sweeney, ladies and gentlemen, welcoming you to Mutual's 300 party. Tonight we greet our 300th station, WKRZ, in Oil City, Pennsylvania. Just about everybody is on hand, so come along. It's the 300 for all America on Mutual, the world's largest network.
Sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Now, here's a two-way musical specialty. The orchestra in New York and from Oil City, Mutual's lovely singing star, Vera Holly.
Coax me a little bit, coax me a little bit, a little, 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 little bit. Coax me a little bit, just a little bit, if you want to be kissed. I'll tell you what to say, here's what you've got to say. Pretty, 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 please. I'm going to pout a bit till you give out a bit, and you really insist. So, flatter me with your chattering. You know the reason why I'm teasing. What good is something that comes easy? Love is grand if you understand. It all depends the way that you begin, how soon I'm in your arms. So coax me a little bit, just a little bit, a little, 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 little bit. A little, 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 little bit. A little, little bit more. Coax a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit more.
Ladies and gentlemen, a telegram. It's from Charles R. Denny, acting chairman of the Federal Communications Commission. Please accept the congratulations of the Federal Communications Commission on adding the 300th community to the Mutual Broadcasting System. Although America leads the world in radio facilities, there are still a substantial number of people who do not receive information and entertainment which a network can bring them. This is particularly true in the small towns and rural areas. Your policy of reaching the smaller communities as well as the metropolitan centers, as evidenced by your achievement in adding 200 stations in communities where there is no other radio station, is in line with the Commission's policy to encourage and facilitate the extension of broadcast service to the largest number of citizens. Best wishes to the Mutual Broadcasting System, to WKRZ, its newest affiliate in Oil City, Pennsylvania, and to the other 299 members of the network.
That certainly is a wonderful message, isn't it, Tiny? Thank you, Charles Denny of the Federal Communications Commission. And now, a word from the president of the Mutual Network, Mr. Edgar Kobach.
Tonight, the Mutual Network observes an important milestone. Speaking for the thousands of men and women who are a part of this great radio team in the 300 communities, I can assure you we are not celebrating the 12-year growth of our network from 4 stations to 300 stations, but rather observing the increased opportunity for us to serve more listeners in our land. Broadcasting is successful when the public interest is served and served well. That is our goal. It is the goal of every man and woman in the broadcasting industry. But all their efforts would be for naught if it were not for the cooperative efforts and support of government and civic leaders, the communication services, business and industry, labor, education, and religion, all of whom contribute so much to our daily life. and from whose rich efforts we draw upon to shape our programs. To tell you that we broadcast music, drama, news, sports, talks, religion, and education is not enough. We constantly strive to make all these programs better and better. We are never satisfied. Radio in the past year reached new heights in its service to the public. Radio informed our nation that a president had died, a new one had taken office, that Nazi Germany and the Japanese warlords had surrendered. Radio informed us of a nation reconverting from war to peace. It told us of the new atomic age. Yes, America is still keeping informed, not only by radio, but by newspapers, magazines, books, and the movies. We believe our broadcast service is good, but our objective is to make it better. And to that objective, we dedicate our observance tonight in bringing WKRZ Oil City into the family of 300 mutual stations.
Miss Maxwell.
Why, yes, Mrs. Oil City.
I hope this doesn't sound like a silly question, but are there any movie stars here?
Oh, we've got tons of them. As a matter of fact, Erskine Johnson has been trying to get my attention for the past few minutes from Hollywood. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's a movie star he wants us to meet.
Yes, indeed, Mrs. Oil City. This is Erskine Johnson in Hollywood, and I have one of the movie stars right here beside me. He's a big, handsome fellow named Randolph Scott. Randy, do you think you can give a reasonably accurate facsimile of a Hollywood salute to the 300 party?
Well, I could if I had my six-shooter with me, Erskine. But I used up all my ammunition in that picture, Abilene Town. But I would like to borrow a word from the Hollywood press agents and say that 300 stations is pretty super colossal.
You bet it is, Randy.
And as you know, I have a personal interest in Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Right you are, and the people of Oil City have an interest in you, too. In fact, they asked for you on this program. After all, you helped make Oil City famous on the screen in the picture, High, Wide, and Handsome.
And it was certainly a pleasure working in that picture.
It was about the oil business, wasn't it?
Yes, the story of the first oil pipeline in the United States. I built it. In the picture, I mean.
Rather strenuous work, I'd say.
But Erskine, in the final reel, I won Irene Dunne.
Oh, you movie stars always get all the breaks. And now tell me, Randy, what picture are you working in now?
Well, Erskine, once in a while, I like to discard my 10-gallon hat and six-shooter just to prove that I can wear a blue serge suit with a crease in the trousers.
Mm, going suave, smooth, and romantic on us, eh?
A little. I play a detective in a new 20th Century Fox picture called Home Sweet Homicide. Three precocious youngsters try to solve a murder. And I decide that the only way to keep the kids under control is to marry their mother.
And the mother is
Lynn Barry.
Oh, as I said, you movie stars always get all the break.
Seriously, Erskine. My playing so many Western roles really is rather odd.
Oh, how's that, Randy?
Well, Zane Grey once described me as a typical and true Westerner. But I'm a Virginian by birth and never saw the West until I came to Hollywood.
But that isn't so unusual.
It isn't.
No, perhaps you don't know it, but Zane Grey was born in Ohio, and Buffalo Bill, the greatest Western hero of them all, came from Iowa.
I hadn't figured it out that way, Erskine.
A moment ago, Randy, you mentioned building the first oil pipeline in the United States, on the screen, of course, in the picture High, Wide, and Handsome. That was pretty close to home, wasn't it? You studied to be an engineer.
Yes, it did, at Georgia Tech. The following year, I came to Hollywood and spent 8 months at the Pasadena Community Playhouse studying acting.
And then the movie scouts saw you.
They saw me, all right, Erskine, but they didn't give me a tumble. So I just about decided to go back to Virginia when I saw my good friend Howard Hughes. And in saying goodbye, I mentioned that I'd like to have a look at a movie set, even if I couldn't act in one. But Hughes misunderstood me and got me a job playing extra. I wore a full-dress suit and had so much fun that I had decided to stick around.
And the rest is film history. Stardom in so many pictures, I haven't time to mention them. Thank you for being with us, Randolph Scott.
Thanks, Erskine, for inviting me to your party. My congratulations to WKRZ and Oil City, Pennsylvania, and to Mutual on acquiring her 300th station. I'll be listening for you, Erskine, every weekday afternoon on your Mutual program, interviewing the stars and giving the news of Hollywood.
Thank you again, Randy, and now stick around. There are several more stars here in the studio, and to tell you more about it, here is Bob Bent.
Yes, Erskine, and first, here's the originator and master of ceremonies of the program. What's the name of that song? Dud Williamson.
Thank you, Bob Bent, and good evening, everybody. Well, here in the studio, we have a number of Hollywood celebrities. You hear them all on Mutual. They all come in to take part in the party edition of our music contest, What's the Name of That Song? Bob, who's our first contestant?
To join our salute to Mutual's newest station, Mutual's newest star, so new, in fact, that his program hasn't been heard yet.
And his name?
Motion picture star, Donald Crisp.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Mr. Crisp. Or maybe I should say good evening, Jonathan Trimble, Esquire.
Well, Mr. Crisp will do. Or better still, Donald. I'm not in character yet.
But you are Jonathan Trimble, Esquire, in the Mutual Network program of the same name that starts next Saturday, May 4th at 8:30 p.m. EDST, that's Eastern Daylight Saving Time, over most of these stations. Right, Donald?
Quite right.
Well, tell us something about the program.
Well, as Jonathan Trimble, I'm editor and publisher of the Belport Inquirer in the town of Belport. In our first program next Saturday, I have the honor of riding down Main Street of the town in a carriage with Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt? Well, then your program must be set during the early years of the 20th century.
Yes, way back in 1905. Moustache cups, arc lights, Foster's carriages, bustles, and Nigel Bruce's.
Donald, you should be able to guess the name and maybe remember the lyrics of at least one of these three songs. Here's number one. Here's number two. And of course, number three.
Yes, sir. The first one was In My Merry Oldsmobile. That song was popular in 1897 when Oil City was established. Dad, of course, they didn't know how important their oil would be to the future of the horseless carriage.
Right, Donald. Now, if you can sing the first phrase of that song, I'll promise to have all my friends listen to your program's debut Saturday night. I can do that.
Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry Oldsmobile.
Oh, thank you very much, Donald Chris, for being with us. And good luck Saturday in your new show, Jonathan Trimble, Esquire, Saturday, May 4th at 8:30, right?
Right, Dad. Thank you, and Godspeed to WKRZ. And may my merry vest go out to the new listeners in Oil City, Pennsylvania.
All right, Robert, who's our next guest?
Dad, our next guest is on location with a picture, but he came to the party by transcription anyway.
Ah, yes, Richard Rogue of the program Rogue's Gallery. In real life, motion picture, and radio star Dick Powell. He's playing detectives and heavies now, but I can remember when he was a singing star back in the old days.
Pardon me, Dad, is that my beard you're standing on?
I seem to remember you even yodeled a tune or two before you grew into a private investigator and a big bad menace.
Well, even then I had to eat.
Well, Dick, this little musical game includes a spot of singing. How are the pipes?
Oh, Dudley. Rusty. I've been playing heavy so long now, I just naturally growl.
Well, why don't you growl a few words to WKRZ?
That I'd like to do. May I offer congratulations to the Mutual Network on the acquisition of station number 300. And my best wishes to that station, WKRZ.
Powell, for being with us. We'll all be waiting for your next adventure as Richard Rogue on the F.W. Fitch Company's program, Rogue's Gallery, next Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time over most of these stations. Well, Robert, who's the next one?
Not one, but two, Dud. They work together.
Oh, of course. They always work together. One of the greatest anti-crime teams in detective history. Ladies and gentlemen, Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. Now, you hear it portraying the characters of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
Good evening, Dudley. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeed. Good evening.
Gentlemen, it's a genuine pleasure to welcome you to the studio party. For portrayers of such a famous pair of detectives as Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, you shouldn't have any trouble with our song contest.
No, I shouldn't think so. Sounds extremely simple, doesn't it, Ben?
We shall see, Nigel.
Well, first, I'd like to impose a slight penalty on you, Mr. Rathbone.
Oh?
As a treat for our audience.
Well, if the price isn't too high.
I don't think so. I wonder if you'll grant us the favor of one of the recitations for which you're so justly famous. Poetry, maybe, or Shakespeare.
Well, I think that might be arranged.
It's an excellent idea, Dad. I say, look here, Basil, inasmuch as just about now you and Mrs. Rathbone are celebrating your 20th wedding anniversary, and Mrs. Bruce and I are 25th next month, couldn't you do something appropriate for both occasions?
Why, yes, but from the set of your chin, Nigel, you have something definite in mind.
Naturally, Basil, I suggest Shakespeare's Sonnet 116.
Yes, that's excellent and most suitable to the occasion. All right. Shakespeare's Sonnet 116. And he says, let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh, no. It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
Oh, thank you, Basil. That was grand.
It was indeed, Basil, old fellow. Most appropriate.
Say, Nigel, you two are on the air as Holmes and Watson for the Petri Wine Company of San Francisco every Monday night at 8:30, EDST, over most of these stations. Is that right?
Yes, indeed, of course. And the arresting title of next Monday's program is The Waltz of Death.
Ah, which promises us another very exciting story of the experiences of the famous detective and his equally famous colleague.
Which reminds me, Dad, that you promised us a chance to guess the title of a song.
Oh, that's right. Now, gentlemen, if you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
There. What's the name of that song?
Oh, look here, Dad. I mean...
Yes, but of course.
What is it, Basil? Blue Danube?
No. Of course not.
Limehouse Blues? Last of that Limehouse district. Yes, by Jove, I believe that's it. It has an oriental flavor. Oriental. Remember old Donald Crisp in Broken Blossoms? He was my grandfather's favorite actor. No, but to go back to it, Bob Bentz here does a perfect Chinese Dalek, and Judd Williamson has a dragon painted on his tie. I believe I have it. This time, Basil, old boy, am I right?
Sorry, old fellow, you're wrong.
You mean, do you know what it is?
Of course.
Well, it's impossible, unfair. How do you know? It's quite unfair.
It's really quite elementary, my dear Nigel. You see that young man standing over there? How he watches the clock?
Yes, of course, I'm not blind, you know.
Well, for 10 minutes, he's been watching the thin red hand go round. 10 minutes, and now he stands with his hand poised.
Looks something like a statue, doesn't he?
Now, see the two pianists? Look how they watch the extended forefinger of the young man, see?
Yes, certainly, I see.
Well, in a moment, he'll drop his arm and point abruptly at the pianist.
Yes, well, look here, old man. What's all that got to do with the name of the song we're supposed to guess?
When the young man points, the pianists will begin to play that song. It's the closing theme of our portion of the program. We've only a few seconds to extend our congratulations to station WKRZ and the people of Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Which we do most sincerely. That's why we came to the party, which we wouldn't have missed for anything.
Thank you, Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. We'll be hearing you as Dr. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson Monday night. And now, until we're back in the air with our program, What's the Name of That Song? This is Dud Williamson saying from Hollywood, congratulations, Oil City, and best wishes, WKRZ.
And now we pause for station identification. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN, WGNB, Chicago, serving the Middle West. Now we return to the Mutual Network for the final portion of the Mutual 300 Party.
Mutual's 300 Party. Wherever you are in America, you're now listening to one of the 300 stations of the Mutual Broadcasting System, the world's largest network. Which reminds me, Elsa.
Yes, Donnie?
To remind our listeners that your own program, Elsa Maxwell's Party Line, is heard Monday through Fridays over most of these stations.
Well, you didn't have to say that, Donnie. I could have said it myself. Honey, do you hear that music?
Oh, yes, indeed. And it's our cue to whisk Mr. and Mrs. Oil City out to Chicago for a special showing of Mutual Benefits, Freedom of Opportunity.
This is Ed Prentice, ladies and gentlemen, your host and storyteller on the Freedom of Opportunity program, heard every Sunday night over 299 Mutual Network stations. Tonight, we're making it an even 300 and proudly welcome the addition of station WKRZ, Oil City, Pennsylvania. For 2.5 years now, Freedom of Opportunity has saluted men and women of this country who have made important contributions to humanity, to better living, and to the people like you and me. Tonight's story salutes Oil City, Pennsylvania, and a man who, by watching it grow, learned the way to success, fame, and a fabulous fortune. In Cleveland, Ohio, in the year 1859, in the half-light of an autumn evening, an energetic young man of 20 sits on a high stool in the back room of a commission house, writing in a ledger and listening as a friend tells him the news.
Drake's his name, Colonel Drake, bored a hole in the ground alongside a creek over near Titusville, Pennsylvania. He struck oil.
What's oil look like, Sam?
Oh, it's greenish black stuff. They pump it like water and sell it for 50 cents a gallon.
50 cents?
And they say it's going higher. A man could get rich with it. Everybody in town's going down there.
A fortune in oil. Well.
Aren't you coming too?
No, I'm not ready yet, Sam. I've got a lot of work to do first. But tell me about it when you come back. Tell me what you see.
The news of oil spread like wildfire. Men crowded into Pennsylvania for black gold just as they had rushed to California for yellow gold. Back in Cleveland, the young accountant heard amazing stories. He was curious,
and decided to go down and see the oil region for himself.
So this is Oil City, huh?
Yeah. Nothing matters here but oil in barrels and the wagons that haul them. Get them barrels to market, then they're good as gold.
I see.
City fella, aren't you?
From Cleveland.
Well, sir, what do you think of Oil City?
I can't tell yet. I just got here.
Hey, it's wilder than a mountain cat. Around here for miles, it costs you a year's wages for a piece of land the size of a blanket.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. And look at the people. Gamblers, drillers, money men in plug hats. Everybody working, dreaming, thinking, living oil.
That was Oil City in 1860. The young bookkeeper went back to Cleveland, but he kept watching Oil City. As the years passed, he watched it writhe and grow. From Oil City, he learned the trends and the answers that he sought. And then one day, the bubble burst.
Oil sells for 10 cents a barrel.
And Samuel Andrews had a visitor.
Sure, I'll sell you an interest in the refinery. Why do you want it?
I think it's a good investment.
Look, I'll be frank with you. I'd be through. I'd be out of business right now if my wife wasn't taking in sewing to help us along.
I know.
And you still want to buy... Say, what do you know?
That public demand for oil products is increasing. That the crude oil supply is becoming stable. That railroads will soon link Cleveland and Oil City, Pennsylvania. Then the industry will need...
Refineries.
Yes, refineries.
4 years after Colonel Drake had discovered oil, the young accountant bought an interest in an oil refinery. He pinned his future on the destiny of oil. He and Oil City had something in common, and they were on their way. From bookkeeper to multimillionaire. And this was his simple creed.
I believe that the same energy and thought should be expended in the proper and effective use of money as was exerted in earning it. And I hope that during my life I have established efficiency in giving, so that wealth may be of greater use to the present and future generations.
That man was John D. Rockefeller, Sr. And today the entire world benefits from his success. The Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research, the Rockefeller Foundation, and many other worthy institutions are living examples of his creed. Yes, the history of John D. Rockefeller, Sr., and the history of Oil City, Pennsylvania, the city we honor tonight, are parallel and interlocked. They prospered from oil. Both grew and reached a position of importance in this land where all men have freedom of opportunity.
Friends, just like in any ordinary family, we're kind of proud if we can toot our horns just the least little bit about our offspring. And we'd like you to meet our latest addition, who beginning next Saturday night will be heard every week on the Harry Savoy Show. And here he is, Mutual's new singing star, Bill Harrington.
I'm falling more in love with you, and day by day my love seems to grow. There isn't any end to my devotion. It's deeper, dear, by far than any ocean. I find that day by day you're making all my dreams come true. So come what may, I want you to know I'm yours alone, and I'm in love to stay. As we go through the years, day by day, you're making all my dreams come true. So come what may, I want you to know I'm yours alone, and I'm in love to stay as we go.
Body. And everybody seems to be having a wonderful time. How about you, Mrs. Oil City?
I couldn't ask for anything more, Miss Maxwell.
Oh, don't be too sure of that. On Mutual, you can ask for just about anything and get it.
You can, Miss Maxwell?
Well, being a man, maybe you can't. But every day, Mondays through Fridays, there's a Mutual program that asks the ladies a certain question. Listen closely for a moment, and you'll hear what it is.
Would you like to be queen for a day? Hello, hello from Queen for a Day, the Cinderella Show, right from the heart of the Magic City, Hollywood. Brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, by Dove, the soap that does everything in your wash, and by Alka-Seltzer, famous for its fast relief from common ailments. And here's our master of ceremonies, the man who makes your dreams come true, your Mutual friend, Jack Bailey. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. Congratulations to Oil City, and you know I want to say this. This little boy from Iowa is proud to be part of the hired help of the world's largest broadcasting system, the Mutual Network. And by golly, you know, when we were honored by an invitation to participate in this broadcast, we decided to search around and try to find someone out here in Hollywood who was from Oil City, whom we could make queen. Well, sir, we finally found her, and here she is right now with us, Mrs. Anna Larchick. Will you bring her over to the microphone, Fort Pearson?
Well, here she is, Jack.
How do you do? May I congratulate you, my friend? And from now on, you will be Your Majesty. And we'd like to welcome you today. I imagine you're a little happy, too, aren't you?
Oh, I'm terribly excited.
Are you really? Did you think like this could happen to you?
I should say not.
You know, I imagine a lot of the people on the Mutual Network are wondering the same thing. So why don't you just tell them, how did you happen to be out here? Would you like to tell them?
Well, my husband's in the hospital out here. He's been in the hospital for 10 months. He was in the South Pacific.
And he was in the service?
Yes.
Well, how's your husband now?
Oh, he's much better. He's going to be discharged.
He is?
Yes.
And he's going to get out of the hospital real soon?
Real soon.
Well, you're about the happiest girl in the country, I should imagine.
Oh, I certainly am.
Well, we're very thrilled for you. And now, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been married?
About 5 years.
Do you have any little folks around?
No, I haven't.
Just you and your husband?
Mm-hmm, that's
it. Well, now, you say your husband's going to be discharged. What do you plan to do?
Well, we aren't going to do anything, Jack. We have a Chevy, and we're going to travel around the country.
And forget the whole thing.
That's right.
That's wonderful, and I know you'll have a grand time. And we have something in store for you, too, Your Majesty. Actually, what happened to Colonel Drake when he struck oil in Oil City in 1859 is nothing compared to what's going to happen to you right now, Queen Anna. With your crimson robe and jewel crown, it's only fitting you should be carrying this gorgeous bouquet of roses and your silver scepter, aren't they, lovely?
Oh, they are just beautiful.
Well, we're very happy to give them to you. And naturally, you should have a complete wardrobe from head to toe for your trip, you know. Bet. Then lingerie, perfumes, hairstyles, and 10 years' supply of Gotham Gold Stripe nylon.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Don't faint, Your Majesty. There's more coming. And I'm sure this will cheer you, as it will your husband. We have also a complete wardrobe for your husband when he's discharged.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
You bet your life. Then, of course, no queen should be without jewels. So here is an exquisite Joan Castle pin, a Delta necklace of pearls, and a gorgeous miracle diamond ring.
Oh.
And then when your little trip is over and you sort of have the cobwebs all brushed away and everything and you settle down, we have something for your home, and I know you will both get a lot of enjoyment out of it. A majestic console combination for your
home. Oh, this is just unbelievable.
Then you're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to visit 20th Century Fox Studios and meet Miss Betty Grable. Better watch your husband there. You're going to visit Warner Brothers and meet Irene Dunn and William Powell. You're going to go to RKO Studios to meet Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
Oh,
won't that be a
thrill?
And listen to this. You're going to Paramount to meet Fred McMurray and our good friend, Mr. Bing Crosby.
Oh, I can't believe it.
It's all true, Your Majesty, and you will find out. Then, for your whirl of glamorous nightclubs like Earl Carroll's, the Trocadero, and all the famous places that can only be Hollywood. So, Your Majesty, may Queen for a Day pay tribute to you, Queen Anna, to Oil City, and to the world's largest network. And right now, this is Jack Bailey saying goodbye and wishing I could make every woman in America queen for every day.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes?
We're looking for Miss Elsa Maxwell.
Well, I'm Miss Maxwell.
Howdy. Well, here you be.
What's this?
Invitation to the social. Is this it?
Why, this is a mutual 300 party.
That's it.
And me and my friend here, we're invited. Come quite a ways to get here, too. I hope it's worth it.
Looks like a city party to me. I think I'll go.
No, don't go. Just who are you? Where do you come from?
Name's Daniel Dickey.
Name's Hiram Neville.
Come from Snow Village.
Then you must be Parker Fennelly and Arthur Allen of Mutual Snow Village Program. Welcome to the 300 party.
Get up. Daniel?
Yes, Hiram?
We went into this deal with Ebenezer Hawkins just as innocent as two cows sticking their noses into a drinking trough.
Yeah, and we were swindled.
Yes, so. Well, there's his house now. You'd never know to look at it that it was the home of a criminal.
Never mind looking at Eb's house. We're headed for Conway to see a lawyer. Get up there.
Hold up. Now, listen, Daniel. Eb took us for $12 on that lumber deal, didn't he?
Better than $12.
All right. Now, if we go to a lawyer, it's going to cost us more than that. And, Daniel, there ain't nothing that lawyer can say to Eb that you and me can.
What'll we say that we ain't said already?
Daniel, we'll tell him we're disappointed, that our faith in human nature has been shook.
Why, he'll laugh at you.
He won't if I cry.
Oh, Hiram.
Friends for 50 years. Barefoot boys together. I was best man at your wedding, Eb. And when I lost my pair of steers from a stroke of lightning, you come up and comforted me, Eb. Friends for 50 years. Now, don't let nothing come along to spoil it.
Well, Hiram Neville, you are crying.
There. Wouldn't you pay up? At least we can try it before we spend $5 on a lawyer.
Hold on. Is that the doctor's buggy hit yonder?
Yeah, seems like.
Wonder if Eb's wife is safe.
I wonder.
Maybe I better go in, see what's what before we go busting in there.
If it ain't contagious, we're going in.
Look, there's a hired girl on the kitchen stoop. I'd better ask her. Get out of here.
Watch yourself.
I'm all right.
I'll wait here.
Hurry
up.
I'll come right back, Hiram.
Yeah. I'll say, Ebenezer Hawkins, $12 is a mighty small profit to show for losing your reputation that you took 50 years to build up. Eb, I'll say, ain't my friendship worth $6.28 to you? The good book says, and lo, he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. Pay up, Eb, pay up.
Hiram.
Daniel, I got just the way to start in on him.
Let me get in there.
We'll begin with scripture and end by throwing him out the window if he don't pay up.
No, wait a minute, Hiram. We can't go in. Hiram, Eb's awful sick.
Sick? What's the matter with him?
Well, I couldn't quite figure out. The hired girl was in a state, hysterical. Hiram, he must have had a stroke.
A stroke? Hey, Godfrey. Poor old Eb. Don't seem possible.
Oh, Hiram, he was an honest man.
Yes, Daniel, he'd have paid. But we crowded him too fast, that's all. Why, that man's word was as good as his bond.
Yes, it was.
Daniel, I wonder how well the widow will be fixed.
Well, not too well, I calculate.
Of course, there'll be one saving.
What's that?
Eb just had his hair cut.
Hiram, look. Look, who's that coming in the driveway there?
Looks like the undertaker, Daniel.
Oh, poor old Ebster.
Now, Daniel, hold up. We're his oldest friend. We've got to bear up.
Hiram, we'll have to send flowers.
All right, you can do it. Get the best there is, up to $2.
Oh, say now.
A piece.
Oh, well, all right.
Now, the sentiment on the card, Daniel. How about writing, Eb, you never swindled us?
That won't do. We'll just say, goodbye, Eb.
That's good, Daniel. Just goodbye, Eb.
Say, Hiram, look. Here comes the doctor out of the house.
We better ask him if there's anything we can do now.
Dr. George!
Yes. Oh, hello, Daniel. Hi. Hiram.
Doctor, is there anything we can do to help with the arrangements for the funeral?
Whose funeral?
Ain't Eb dead?
Dead. He's sitting up in bed yelling for his dinner.
Dinner? I thought he had a stroke.
Stroke?
Yeah.
Well, all he had was a case of colic.
I know, but the undertaker.
The undertaker is trying to collect for some kitchen chairs, he told Eb. Well, bye, boys.
Colic.
Yeah. Colic. We'll colic him. Get up.
Where are we going?
To the lawyers. That man's a swindler and always has been.
And we was going to send flowers.
Flowers? Make mine poison ivy. Get up.
Well, friends, are you having fun?
Yes, Miss Maxwell, we've had comedy and quiz and...
Yeah, and don't forget those commentators and dramatic programs.
Well, what would you like now?
Well, frankly, I can never get enough of good music.
Then suppose we give you some more. Some really wonderful music and songs. You've got 2 aisle seats at the Chicago Theater of the Air.
Thank you.
one of our nation's great programs, adds its salute to the 300th station of the Mutual Broadcasting System, station WKRZ in Oil City, Pennsylvania. The Chicago Theater of the Air, its lovely star, Marion Clare, and its conductor, Henry Weber, are known to millions who listen to weekly productions of the world's greatest operettas for the world's greatest radio audience. And a few minutes from now, following this special Mutual Network celebration, the Chicago Theater of the Air will present a full production of the Grand Opera Faust, starring Marion Clare and the young Metropolitan Opera Company's singing star, Thomas Hayward. Mr. Hayward joins our salute to Mutual Network station number 300 with Falling in Love with Someone from Naughty Marietta.
But I'm falling in love with someone, girl. I'm falling in love with someone. Falling in love with someone, plain to see. I'm sure I could love someone a madly, if someone would love
her. Best wishes to the newest member of the world's largest network is our lovely prima donna of the Chicago Theater of the Air, Miss Marion Clare. Also from the score of Naughty Marietta, Miss Clare sings the Italian Street Song. Chicago's great Medina Temple, the Chicago Theater of the Air, its stars Marion Clare and Thomas Hayward, its conductor Henry Weber, and its writer-producer Jack LaFrandre have joined in this gala celebration for the Mutual Broadcasting System station number 300, station WKRZ in Oil City, Pennsylvania. Here's our best wishes to the world's largest radio network. This is John Weigel returning you to New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, a message we have received from the President of the United States, Harry S. Truman. The constant effort of the radio networks to bring their fine programs within the reach of more and more of our citizens is fulfilling part of the public trust the government places in our private system of broadcasting. I am informed that as of tonight, the Mutual Broadcasting System is serving 300 independently owned stations, including many located in our smaller towns and cities. Your network is to be congratulated on this achievement. Signed, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States.
Mr. and Mrs. Oil City. Now that you've met just about everyone that belongs to the Mutual family.
It certainly has been a wonderful party, Miss Maxwell.
I've been having such a grand time, I wish it could go on forever.
Well, although we're going off the air now, all these people and programs you've heard will be going right on. They'll be coming to you tonight, tomorrow, and every day and night over most of these stations. I'd like to thank everybody who helped make this party such a big success. So goodbye for now, and thanks for joining us.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elsa. You're welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Oil City.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tiny Ruffner adding his thanks to that of Miss Maxwell, to all of the people who have so graciously given their time to celebrate this wonderful occasion of the addition of the 300th Mutual Station to make it the greatest network in the world. And now to all of you everywhere, good night all. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.